Welcome, welcome, welcome from around the world in the chat room and on the phone to in the studio with your girl, Lennis, here on the Essence of Success Radio Network. How's everybody doing? Well, I tell you, it's Thursday and it's been an interesting week, but it's been a good day today, huh? I hope that you guys had a good week so far as well. Well, we discuss hot topics, news of the day, and tackling hard subject matter. We may not always be on the same page or agreement. That's what makes this show special. You're entitled to agree or disagree. Isn't that wonderful? Keep an open mind and continue to think outside of the box. Please join us in the chat room with your opinion or call us on the show phone, 646-727-2914. That's 646-727-2914. The website is theessenceofsuccess.net. If there's a subject that you'd like to see discussed, well, you know, send us a message. Either on the website and the main page, and scroll down to the bottom, you'll see the message box, or you can reach us at Facebook on the Essence of Success Radio Network. We are here to empower you and to make you think. We don't have all the answers, but we'll find the questions to be answered and understood, okay? So thank you for supporting and listening to the show. Our hope that each show will give you food for thought, as they say, you know, something to talk about the next day at work for those that might have missed the show. So anyway, now for the newbies, it's we do news, sports, entertainment, not necessarily in that order, but anyway, that's usually how the show runs. So it depends because, like I said, we do have topics. If there's something kind of good, we might linger a little bit longer on that particular article or person, whatever. So, but other than that, we're just going to have a real good time. Okay, let me check the chat room. Okay, the chat room is clear right now. The telephone lines are open, so you're more than welcome to call in. Well, let's start off with the news. Now, the hottest thing right now, y'all, is the GM workers, okay? Y'all know they're on strike, right? Now, I don't watch the news on TV. Why? Because I got a Fire Stick. I mean, I can still watch the news. You can get MSNBC and all that on a Fire Stick. I just choose not to because it's so depressing. I'd rather hear some good news, something that's uplifting and happy and humanity, you know, but all that other junk, I don't really hear all that. So I got the Fire Stick, got out of Comcast, and I don't watch the news, but I read. Now, I'm a voracious reader. I love to read. So, of course, I'll go into the Internet and read MSN and Google, whatever their news may be, or the Internet. What's the other one? I can't think of what you call it. Anyway, the big E, whatever that is, Microsoft Network. Yeah, that's what I want to say. So anyway, so let's talk about the GM workers still on strike. Let's get into it. All right, the United Auto Workers strike against General Motors will continue while union members vote on a new four-year labor contract, adding to the work stoppage estimated $2 dollar costs for the automaker. The decision for the UAW's 48,000 members with GM to continue manning picket lines instead of returning to work was made by roughly 200 local union leaders from across the country during more than six-hour meeting Thursday in Detroit. Workers have been on strike for 32 days now. I bet it is costing you some money, GM. UAW spokesman Brian Rothenberg, during a news conference following the meeting, said the voting will start Saturday and expected to be completed by October 25th, adding up to $100 million per day to the automaker's production losses. Woo-hoo! This is according to Wall Street analysts. Woo-hoo! In a statement, GM said officials encouraged UAW to move as quickly as possible through the ratification process so we can resume operations and get back to producing vehicles for our customers. Our goal during these negotiations was to ensure that the future of General Motors is one that works for our employees, dealers, suppliers, and the communities where we operate. The company spokesman said, the agreement reflects our commitment to United States manufacturing through the creation of new jobs and increased investment. The union expedited the vote, which normally takes about 2 weeks. Rothenberg said the local union leaders feel strongly it was important for their members to remain on strike during the voting. Shares of GM closed Thursday at $36.19. The stock, which had fallen by double digits during the strike, is currently down by about 7% since September 13, the last trading day before workers started picketing. The decision about the monitoring strike was announced as local union leaders approved the tentative deal between the union and GM that was announced Wednesday. The leaders had to approve the deal before rank-and-file members can vote on it. The union won several financial gains for members as part of the accord, but agreed to close four United States facilities, including three plants and a parts distribution center. Ew, I don't like to hear that. The deal includes 3-4% raises on lump sum bonuses, the addition or retention of 9,000 hourly U.S. jobs, and $9 billion in new investments, including production of all-electric pickups for a plant in Detroit that was potentially slated to close foreclosure. UAW members also are expected to maintain their health insurance, which is considered the gold standard and requires employees to cover roughly 3% of the total cost. The agreement would also pay most union members an $11,000 ratification bonus once the contract is signed. Temporary workers who have a shortened path to become permanent employees as part of the deal would receive $4,500 ratification bonuses. Well, that's a nice, you know what I mean, just for the part-timers or whatever y'all want to call them, scabs, whatever, for crossing the picket line. But, shoot, that ain't bad. They'll get $4,500 out the deal. Y'all getting $11,000, but, you know, all right. The new contract, if ratified by GM members, will be used as a template by the union for negotiations with Ford Motor and Fiat Chrysler. Okay. So, yes, that's the hot story up. So I guess let's just say hopefully if everything gets signed up by Monday, they'll be back to work, huh? Everybody will be, the auto workers, I should say. Yeah. Oh, I love it, love it, love it. Okay. I'm just waiting. Okay, now, let's see. Oh, okay. Next story, we're going to talk about the Chicago teachers. Okay, Chicago, 25,000 teachers are on strike. Teachers and school staff went on strike Thursday, the nation's third largest school district, in a fight for higher pay and more school resources. The latest walkout amid a national resurgence of teacher activism. Thousands of educators took to the streets, picketing outside empty city schools and marching from Chicago public school headquarters to City Hall, in the loop, chanting in cadence with the beating of drums. Although salary increases are part of their demands, teachers emphasize they were also striking to compel the district to bolster staffing so that schools would no longer have to share nurses and to make sure campuses have enough counselors and social workers. Teachers throughout the nation are battling for classroom resources, affordable housing, and restriction on charter schools. During the last 2 years, educators in unlikely places have found their voices walking out in 2018 in red states such as West Virginia, Oklahoma, Arizona, buoyed by broad-based public support. In January, teachers in Los Angeles, the nation's second largest school district system, went on strike amid a battle with district leaders over crowded classrooms, depleting staff, and the very future of the city schools. West Virginia teachers left their classrooms again this year, defeating a measure that would have permitted charter schools, which are publicly funded but privately operated. Several teachers successfully ran for public office last year, taking key posts in state legislatures with the promise of restoring school funding. Well, kudos to y'all. Chicago teachers, represented by a powerful union in an overwhelming Democratic city, last week on strike in 2012, Thursday strike idled some 25,000 teachers and 300,000 students. Okay, you see a common thread from West Virginia to Los Angeles to Chicago, said Randy Weingarten. He's president of the American Federation of Teachers, the nation's second largest teachers union. It's about making the sacrifice to help create welcoming and safe environments for our kids and not taking no for an answer. I know that's right. I mean, I'll continue in a minute. But I know that's right. The schools, number one, got to be safe. So you know what? They first need money just for security. Okay, I don't care if it's RoboCop or maybe a part-time official police officer that just comes in for 4 hours and another officer comes in for another 4 hours, you know, like extra money for them, like overtime, only not paid as quite as high. But anyway, to let them know that there are police on duty in the schools. I don't know. I'm just using that as a suggestion. Because you parents and teachers and counselors and principals know better, you know, what works for your school. But they got to do better. I don't know why they keep putting teachers so low. Do you realize the United States, how low we are on the scale of education of children from 1 to 100? Do you know we're like number 152? We're not even in the top 10 for education for our children. What does that say about us? Do we care about educating our kids? I mean, seriously, folks, what is going on out there? Teachers ought to be number one, because without education, the children cannot survive, correct? Excuse me, they can't survive without education. So teachers should be number one. Pay them their dues, what they're worth. There's some fantastic, amazing teachers, and I would say that on the whole. Of course, there's a few sprinkle here and there. You know, they're just there for the money and go home. But doggone it, you got at least 95 or 85% of teachers out there that really care about students and they care about their job. And we need to show that. Instead of putting them down like number 39 or 40 on the list, make teachers number one. This is how your kids survive. Now, of course, they've got homeschooling, and come to find out, kids that are homeschooled, they've jumped up a grade. What are you missing? Okay, government, what are you missing giving the teachers? And not just the school teachers, but the professors, too. I know they make good money, but still they could make more, okay? All right, let me get back to the article. So the Chicago Teachers Union and Mayor Lori Lightfoot, who faces her first major test as the city's leader, reached a contract impasse, forcing Lightfoot to cancel classes Thursday. Teachers were joined on the picket lines by special education assistants, bus aides, school secretary, guards, and other staff represented by service employees, International Union Local 73, whose contract negotiations with the city also stalled. Lightfoot has said the city cannot afford the teachers' demands, which include a restorative justice coordinator for every school. She told reporters Thursday morning that schools would remain closed until teachers agree to come back to the classroom. Leslie Russell, an English teacher at Walter Payton College Preparatory High School, who joined the massive rally, said she sees stark disparities, wow, between city schools and campuses in more affluent suburbs. Her school has a nurse only one day a week. Ooh, that's not good. Teachers are not in it for the money, Russell said. We are the catalyst for great things kids can do when it optimizes conditions. Well, this is true. Chicago teachers said not only that they're on strike, but they're also demanding affordable housing for the students. Thursday morning, leaders from the Chicago Teachers Union, which is today, continued negotiations with city officials at Malcolm X College on the Near West Side Union. President Jesse Sharkey told the Chicago Sun-Times that it was unlikely the two sides would strike a deal imminently. Uh-oh. Some who joined teachers on the picket line said they are battling to force Lightfoot to hew to her campaign's platform, which emphasized educational justice. The mayor ran on a platform of racial and social equity. 35th Ward Alderman Carlos Ramirez Rosa told teachers and community members gathered outside Avondale Logandale Elementary on Chicago's northwest side, she forgot her campaign promises. You will make her remember. About 60 people stood outside the schools Thursday morning waving signs that read, "Teachers and students sacrifice too much, and 35 is a speed limit, not a class size." Passing motorists honked in support. Ooh, ouch, ouch. In addition to bread and butter issues, teachers are hoping to force the city to commit to easing a housing crisis that has driven out many of the city's black residents. More than 16,000 students were counted as homeless in 2018. It means teachers, in addition to educating students, often have to ensure their basic needs are being met. 1 in 10 adults has been homeless over the past year. Lightfoot, who won a landslide victory in April, said at Wednesday news conference she was dismayed by the union's job action. I was disappointed by the CTU's decision to begin a work stoppage and force the cancellation of classes, Lightfoot said. I feel like we rolled up our sleeves and negotiated in good faith over a long period of time. We reiterated that our proposal was rooted in our administration for the job that educators and school staffers do every day, the mayor said. Elementary special education teacher and union delegate Katie Osgood recalled working at a school where she had a special education student who was homeless and slept in shelters on the weekend. We had to find out if she had food and clean clothes, Osgood said. This is what our little guys deal with. Destiny Harris, a 2019 graduate of Whitney M. Young Magnet High School and an activist, battled the city for months as in prepared to turn a shuttered school into a police academy. She said it was of how the city prioritized resources. She just couldn't believe it. Okay. Chicago Teachers Union is demanding that students be treated like they matter, said Harris, now a freshman at Howard University. Well, thank you, baby. Adeswa Obazi, a preschool teacher at Avondale Logandale Elementary, said the dearth of resources and staff force teachers to wear multiple hats. They have to comfort students, make them feel safe, and sometimes serve as social workers and nurses. The school's nurse visits the school just once a week. We do it all, Abazi said. In 2012, teachers battled with then-Mayor Rahm Emanuel, or Emanuel, pushing back on his efforts to institute merit pay. Tied teacher evaluations to standardized test scores and expand charter schools. It made the city's focal point in the debate over an education policy that favored charter schools and evaluating teachers through standardized testing and strained the relationship between Emanuel and the union. Teachers nearly went on strike again in 2016, nearly averting a job action with a last-minute compromise. Well, Catherine Dalber, a preschool teacher at Lawndale Elementary Community Academy on Chicago's west side, said educators confront poverty and stress in their classrooms. Every day we go to work, the stress level is sky high. The kids are not ready to learn. They suffer a great deal of trauma. They are hungry. They're tired, Dalber said. I can't do every job. Well, all right then. Okay, so that's the story, what's going on with the Chicago teachers on the strike. I hope they can come to a resolution with you folks. But, you know, I understand if children are not happy, how can they learn? If they're hungry, how can they learn? How can they learn if they, they got, you know, I don't want to say dirty clothes, but they're not clean. They don't, you know, feel like they look nice and clean and neat like the other kids. You know, how can you concentrate? You know, do you have a good pair of shoes on to go to school and go home? I understand that. You teachers in Chicago, my heart goes out to you. God bless each and every one of you. God bless you. And I hope you get what you deserve in your contract. But I know that's got to be hard. That alone is stressful, just thinking about what those children are going through, because I'm sure a lot of your children have dealt with murder and shootings because how high it was from April until, what, August or July, every week so many people dying. So, of course, that was some child's parent or brother, sibling, or child, of course, so... Yeah, but anyway, my heart goes out to you. So I hope and pray with God, the angels, and the miracles that you teachers back there in Chicago get everything that you ask for, no matter what. The government or the city is just going to have to come up with the money, okay? And that's all I have to say about it. Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break here and be back, so don't you go nowhere. We'll be back in about a couple of minutes, okay? Thank you. Welcome back, everyone, to In the Studio with your girl, Linus. How you doing? How you doing? I hope you're enjoying the show so far. We're definitely into the news. If you missed what I just spoke about and commented on the Chicago teachers, it was good. You have to go back and listen to it. The show will be in the archives. But and you can listen to the show on the radio page at the website, theessenceofsuccess.net. Let me tell you, you know what time it is. Anyway, just at the top, click on the icon radio and scroll down. You'll see In the Studio. By the way, the phone number to the show is 646-727-2914. That's 646-727-2914, and the chat room is open. Okay, so we're still in the newsy section. Now, I want y'all to listen to this story. I'm going to clown. I got my clown shoes. Well, I don't know. Yeah, I got my clown shoes on. Anyway, the GS Summit is going to be at Trump's Doral Resort. This story came out today. President Trump has awarded the 2020 Group of Seven Summit of World Leaders to his private company, scheduling the summit for June at his Trump Doral Golf Resort in Miami, the White House announced today. That decision is without precedent in modern American history. The president used his public office to direct a massive contract to himself. Trump's Doral Resort, set among office parks near the Miami airport, has been in sharp decline in recent years, according to the Trump organization's own records. Its net operating income fell 69% from 2015 to 2017. A Trump organization representative testified last year that the reason was Trump's damaged brand. Now the G7 summit will draw hundreds of diplomats, journalists, security personnel, of course, to the resort during one of the slowest months of the year. Let me repeat that again so you'll see who's all coming. The G7 summit will not only the seven leaders of the world, but hundreds of diplomats, journalists, and security personnel to the resort during one of its slowest months of the year. You think that was planned? When Miami is hot and the hotel is often less than 40% full, y'all, it will also provide a worldwide spotlight for the club. What about Doral? Trump asked aides earlier this year, according to White House Acting Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney, who announced the move. Mulvaney said a nationwide search conducted by the president's administration led to the conclusion that the president was right. Fucking A, it is not right. He's pimping the goddamn taxpayers. And I don't mean that, taxpayers, excuse me, but he is. He's pimping us. Do y'all see that, how the president and his family are pimping us? Shit. Doral was far and away the best physical facility for this meeting, he said. The administration examined 10 sites before choosing this one, according to Mulvaney, who then quoted an anonymous site selection official who he said told him, it's almost like they built this facility to host this type of event. Mulvaney did not say what other sites were vetted. Got me so mad I'm coughing. Just that they were all worse. Y'all believe that? Yeah. I'll tell you what, I got some property in Alaska I'm trying to get rid of too, okay? Trump's decision to select his own recent resort, excuse me, Trump's decision to select his own resort as host of the international gathering is a sign that he is becoming more brazen. What did I just say about pimping? more brazen about flouting criticism of Congress and shattering ethical norms that have been observed by previous presidents with regard to separating the duties of their office, president, from their financial well-being, period. It also appears to signal the collapse of promises made by both Donald Trump and Eric Trump. What, didn't I say his family too? The president's son and the day-to-day leader of Trump's business at the start of the Trump presidency, when they play, ain't nobody going to get pregnant by him. Shit. I'll give you a hysterectomy. When they pledged to create separation between the president's private business and his new public office, I will be leaving my great business in total, Donald Trump said then. There are lines that we would never cross, and that's mixing business with anything government, Eric Trump said in 2017, quote, unquote. Motherfucker, please. Okay, I know what I say to the next black person, but to you, motherfucker, please, kiss my grits, okay? Everybody in this country ain't dumbed down. We got a lot of PhDs and master people, huh? You better ask somebody. The Trump Organization on Thursday said it was honored to have been chosen by its owner, the president, for this event. We are excited to have been asked to host the 2020 G7 Summit at Trump National Doral, the company said in a statement. But the company did not respond to questions about how much money it will make off this event. Huh? Eric Trump did not respond. I know you didn't, brother. Eric Trump did not respond to questions about how much the president's company would charge the United States or foreign governments during the event. He also did not respond to questions about whether the Trump Organization would ask taxpayers to pay for upgrades to the site. Hold up. Hold the fuck up. Now we're paying for upgrades? What's wrong with Camp David? And I can think of a couple other places, okay, that it's government that we own, okay? What are you doing? Really, what are you doing? I'm sorry, something came up on my screen. I don't know why, but it did. Anyway, what was I saying? I'm so sorry, y'all. One obvious concern for next year, there will be at least 8 world leaders coming to this event. But at present, Doral has just 2 presidential suites. But there's going to be 8 world leaders. Oh, so in other words, you need to upgrade to 6 more presidential suites to accommodate the 8 world leaders. Because, you know, Putin got 1 of the 2, right? Yeah, you know, he got 1 of the 2. And maybe the, what's his name? What's your friend in England now? Mike, whatever the guy's name is. I can't think right now. But anyway, him and Putin will have the 2 presidents, so you need to build 6 more. The State Department, which typically helps organize these events, declined to comment. I know you did. I know you did. As Cedric the Entertainer said, I wish you would. Mulvaney said the White House was not going to release information about the selection process. If you want to see our paperwork on how we did this, the answer is absolutely not. Really? Oh, that's not public information? Just that you're doing a survey around to find out where to help have the G7 meeting. That's not public information? Oh, that's interesting. I guess you guys, that's top secret. Hello, I'm going to let you know right now, quote, unquote, me, that's top secret. We ain't supposed to know that where they have those G7 meetings. Although Trump wants us to know a year in advance that it's being held next year at his Doral resort. But anyway, Mulvaney can't say anything. See, he said, absolutely not, quote, unquote. On Capitol Hill, the Democrat-led House has already passed a measure that would ban federal funds from being paid to Trump's properties, a provision that, if it became law, would seem to block a massive federal event at Trump Doral. Even if the Trump Organization charged lower than market rates, the event would bring guests to fill unfulfilled rooms as well as a glut of global publicity. Wouldn't it? Hello, can we say pimp you how? The apprentice pimp, or is it pimp apprentice? It's one of those. Days in, huh? Doral Mayor J.C. Bermudez said late Thursday that he had not been told of the city's selection. Really? You didn't know that? You mean to tell me Trump didn't let you know he was going to be coming to your town with the resort there for the G7? Mulvaney didn't tell you either? Oh, let's go back. What did he say? If you want to see our paperwork on how we did this, the answer is absolutely not, quote, unquote, Mulvaney. Oh, so sorry, Mayor Bermudez. I found out, quote, unquote, I found out the same way that I guess you did, by watching Mulvaney's press conference, quote, unquote. At Days End, Bermudez said he was unaware of any calls from the federal government to the city, even after Mulvaney's announcement. Okay, and what does that tell you, y'all? Hello, somebody. Hello. Now, do you understand what I said about pimping our nation? It just does not make any sense at all. It's not even fair to any of us, huh? Okay, now I'm going to stop. I'm going to get to the story about Sweden and parenting. It's a wonderful story, too. But, oh, my goodness, I got to do the sports, the sports scores. You know, I get a call now and then from friends. I ain't mentioning no names. Oh, wow, look at this, y'all. Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes left the game against the Broncos with a knee injury. Oh, my God. And the score right now, it's in the second quarter with a minute. No, it's 35 seconds left. Okay, so it's the Chiefs 20 and the Broncos 6. Oh, so they're getting ready to go into halftime. Ooh, the Chiefs are winning. Now, you know if their quarterback is out. Hello, Broncos. Okay, all right, y'all. Let's get on with these scores. Okay, MLB, Houston 3, New York Yankees 1, and it's at the top of the fourth. Okay, let's see what's happening in NBA. Well, in the third quarter, we've got Chicago 64, Atlanta 53. In the third quarter, we've got Milwaukee 75, Minnesota 61. In the second quarter, we've got Denver 35, Portland 36. Final, we've got Miami 107 to Orlando 98. Now, 7:30 tonight, this is on NBA TV. Dallas and the Clippers are playing. And Clippers have got a better, they're 2-2. Yeah, Dallas is only 1-1. Wow, Mavericks, what's wrong with y'all? What's going on down there? I'm surprised. Well, let's see. Okay, oh, let's do hockey right quick. TB, I guess that's Tampa Bay 3 and BDS 3. They're tied up right now. Oh, it's overtime. Whoa. They're in overtime, and they're tied up. The next one is in the third quarter, NYR 2 and NJ. Maybe it's New Jersey 5. And then in the second quarter, these are NHL scores now. You got VAN, Van 2, and STL 3. And at 7 p.m. tonight, be playing OTT. I don't know who these people are, against VGS. So hopefully you guys do. Sorry. I'm sorry, y'all, but, you know, I don't know all those NHLs. I know NFL and NBA. Okay, now we'll do the quick rundown of the NFL standings. You know, I do that too. I go through it pretty quick, and then we'll get back to the story about Sweden and parenting. Okay, in the American Football League, this is what we're seeing right now. New England Patriots are 6-0. Did we think anything different? Please. I know. Buffalo Bills are in second place with 4-1. Jets is 1-4. And last place is the Dolphins. They can't say, how you doing? And AFC North, we've got Baltimore Ravens, 4-2. Second place is tied up with Cleveland Browns, 2-4. I'm so proud of y'all. And the Pittsburgh Steelers, 2-4. And last place is Cincinnati Bengals. AFC South, we've got the Houston Texans, 4-2. Indianapolis Colts in second place, 3-2. Third place is a tied up with the Jaguars and Tennessee Titans, 2-4. AFC West, we've got the Kansas City Chiefs, 4-2, and they look like they're getting ready to get 5. I don't know. I don't think so. Look like Denver Broncos might be getting one. In second place is the Oakland Raiders with 3-2, and tied up for third place is Denver Broncos with 2 and Los Angeles Chargers with 2, which that might change for Denver. We don't know now that the quarterback is out with a knee injury. Okay, in the National Football Conference, excuse me, oh my goodness, the NFC East, we got Philadelphia and Dallas Cowboys are tied for first place, 3-3. Second place is New York Giants with 2-4. Last place is Washington with 1-5. In the NFC North, we have Green Bay Packers 5-1. They're right up there with the Patriots. The Patriots haven't lost, and Green Bay Packers just lost one game. Second place is Minnesota Vikings, 4-2. Third place, Chicago Bears, 3-2. And Detroit Lions, 2-2, bringing in the rear. NFC South, you got New Orleans Saints, 5-1. Carolina Panthers, 4-2. What's going on, Ham? Tampa Bay Buccaneers, third place, 2-4. And coming up the rear, the Atlanta Falcons, 1-5. NFC West, San Francisco 49ers, 5-0. All right, San Francisco. Seattle Seahawks are 5-1. They right on your heels, 49ers. Don't slip. Los Angeles Rams in second place with 3-3. And in third place, second place, Los Angeles Rams, 3-3. And in third place is Arizona Cardinals, 2-3. And those are your NFL standings for this week. Okay. Uh-oh. You know what? Let me play a quick break. I just lost my page. Real quick. I'll be right back. With your girl Lennis here on the Essence of Success Radio Network. The phone number to the show is 646-727-2914. Okay, Sweden is the best for parenting. Say what? Many parents have the heart-wrenching experience of leaving home for work before their young children wake, only to return after they have gone to bed. However, there is one country in the developed world, because of a generous parental support system, this is less common, Sweden. And thanks to the scheme, parents may work shorter hours or even not work at all. The country was last year voted the best in the world for childcare. and came second only to the Netherlands for family living. The world's largest paid parental leave is Sweden. Sweden's parents are giving paid time off work to look after newborn children than those in any other country. And while other states may offer longer maternity and paternity leave, none has a scheme that is more generous to both parents. Parents have a leave allowance of 480 days, 390 of which are 80% paid. The remaining 90 days are paid at a flat rate. The allowance can be split 50-50 between both parents, but there is also a minimum period of 3 months non-transferable leave for each parent within the 480 days, a benefit that puts Sweden among the most generous to new fathers. However, while parents do not have to take 3 months, they lose anything they do not use. Currently, there are proposals to increase the use-it-or-lose-it element of leave for dads to 5 months, as fathers are less likely than mothers to use the whole of their allowance. This increase in the daddy quota would see Sweden fathers leapfrog their French counterparts and have the third longest paternity leave in the world after South Korea and Japan. However, while the government is making the proposals in an effort to promote equal sharing of leave, it also proposes to cut the overall allowance of 400 days. Sick pay for children. Sweden's support for parents does not stop at infancy. They can also take up to 120 days leave per year to care for a sick child up to the age of 12. Known as Vård av barn, which stands for care for a child in Swedish, parents are paid a little shy of 80% of their salary to look after their sick child. The funds are provided to the parents via a government compensation scheme instead of the employer, where, you know, us over here in the United States, we get sick leave. Parents can even apply for up to 60 days compensation if their child is healthy, but their regular care, such as a childminder or grandparent, is unwell and unable to look after the child. Time off to take children to doctor and dentist appointments is also covered under the scheme. Child benefits. Meanwhile, children in Sweden can attend preschool on a voluntary basis from the age of 1 and on a mandatory basis from the age of 3 to 6. The government pays for 3 hours of preschool per day. Wow. The preschools, which are seen regarded as a bridge to mainstream education, focuses on a mix of play and learning. Parents with children under the age of 8 who have not finished their first year of school are entitled to reduce their working time by up to 25%, so turning an 8-hour day into 6 hours. This gives parents of young children time to drop them off at cares or in school, or simply to return home before their children go to sleep. Isn't that neat, y'all? I just think that is so neat. Wow, I wish we had anywhere something close like that, huh? Over here, don't you? I do. I wish we did. Okay, now this is just a short 10 gender equal countries. Iceland leads 4 Nordic countries at the top of the table, while the Philippines joins the top 5 for the first time in the World Economic Forum Global Gender Gap 2013 report, published today, Thursday, the 17th. Ha ha, and I got it. The report ranks 136 countries on their ability to close the gender gap, making sure women are not held back in 4 key areas: health and survival, education, politics, and economic equality. Hello, somebody. Number one is Iceland. They hold the top spot for the fifth consecutive year, continuing to boast the narrowest gender gap in the world. Iceland's overall score moves up due to improvements in economic participation and opportunity, as well as political empowerment. Finland continues to hold, number two is Finland. Finland continues to hold the second position despite slight losses in its overall score due to a decrease in economic opportunity and participation. Number three is Norway, follows next with a light increase in its overall score. Norway has just appointed a female prime minister, Erna Solberg, and is also one of the top 10 countries for the number of years during which it had a female head of state. Number four, Sweden, continues to hold the fourth position. Although no country has yet achieved gender equality, all of the Nordic countries, with the exception of Denmark, have closed over 80% of that gender gap. On the whole, though, these economies have made it possible for parents to combine work and family, resulting in more women in the workforce, shared childcare, and a better work-life balance for both women and men. The Philippines moves up three places this year due to small improvements in economic participation and opportunity. The highest-ranking country from Asia, Philippines is 10th overall for political empowerment and is the only country in Asia and the Pacific to have fully closed the gender gap in both education and health. Well, kudos to you, Philippines. Woo-hoo! Number six, Ireland, slipped one place this year due to losses in economic participation and opportunity, though it remains the highest European country outside the group of Nordic economies. Number seven, New Zealand, moved down one place mainly due to an increase in wages. Women are paid for doing similar work to men. Number eight, Denmark, lost one place in the overall ranking this year despite an improvement in political empowerment. Number nine, Switzerland, move up one spot due to increase in women's salary. And 10, and the last one, is Nicaragua, continues to be the only country from Latin America and the Caribbean in the top 10 at all best performers. Well, kudos to you too, Nicaragua. Woo-woo. God bless you and your family, huh? All right. Okay, well, that is our show for today. I hope that you enjoyed. I sure enjoyed bringing it to you. And if no one's told you they love you today, well, I do. Now, don't forget tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, Friday traffic jams, Halloween music. Okay? All right. Have a good one, and y'all be safe until I see you next time.